This morning we continue our Give It Up for Lent series. Oscar Wilde once stated, "I can resist anything except temptation." We're all tempted by different things at some time or another. That bar of chocolate when you're supposed to be dieting, that little white lie when you want to get out of doing something, or the temptation to stay in bed rather than get up and come to church. We might have a mental picture of the devil as a creature with horns and a forked tail, but he's much more subtle than that, and his ways are much more clever. Don't underestimate his power. Satan is a real being and not a symbol or an idea. He's there at the start of the Bible, and the same Satan who tempted Adam and Eve and succeeded with them hoped to succeed with Jesus. Jesus knew all about temptation, as we're just going to hear in this morning's reading from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone.'" The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. The devil is desperately seeking to stop Jesus from doing the work that our Heavenly Father sent him to do. And what's so helpful about this reading for us is that we get to learn from Jesus how to deal with the temptations that the devil confronts us with. The temptations will be very different for us, of course. We are not the Son of God. But still we can learn from Jesus how to overcome whatever temptations we might face. Take the first temptation that Jesus faces. It's a pretty basic and universal one. It's about food. We've all had temptations involving food, I suspect. But imagine going without food for 40 days, as Jesus did. At the end of those 40 days, the devil approached Jesus and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." That must have been quite a temptation for Jesus. But what is this temptation, really? Is it just to eat food? Or is it about more than that? The devil is saying, "If you are the Son of God, then use your divine power to turn stone into bread." This is a temptation to use his divine power for himself. It's a temptation to do something for himself, not for his Heavenly Father, not for humanity, but for himself. And I suspect that the devil knows that if he can get Jesus to think about himself, even just a little, then the devil has won. Because there's no way that Jesus will be crucified for our sins if he begins thinking about himself in any way. And there's something universal in this. Because once we decide to live for ourselves and not for God, even just a little, we've begun wandering away from the faith. Because there's no way that we'll do anything sacrificial for God or for others if we're thinking about ourselves. So when we're tempted in this way, how can we deal with it? What does Jesus do? he answers with scripture. He quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 to the devil. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil would know the next part of that verse, "but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." We don't live by bread alone. We don't live for bread alone. Our lives are about much more than eating and drinking and working and sleeping. They're about the relationship with God that Jesus came to restore. That comes first, Jesus is reminding us. And when we put that relationship first, then everything else makes more sense. It becomes natural for us to make sacrifices in our life for God, because our relationship with God is our highest priority, and because we know what a sacrifice God's Son has made for us. How about the second temptation? The devil showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Now think first about why this might have been tempting to Jesus. The temptation isn't to worship the devil, of course. The temptation for Jesus is to take a shortcut to his goal, to agree to worship the devil so that he could be given control of the world. And wouldn't the world be a better place if Jesus were in total control? Even if he had to make a deal with the devil, the world would be better off if Jesus were in charge. Of course, Jesus is in charge, but he chooses to rule the world not by force, but by love, and that means that his will is not always done among us. But what does this have to do with us? The devil isn't offering us any deals like this, is he? We certainly can't take control of the world, even if we think we could do something positive for it. But aren't we tempted to take control of our little corner of the world? We think we know how to fix our little corner. We know how to fix our family, or our friends, or our school or workplace. There are things that we could do that would be so simple, and it would fix them. We know it would. It really is a temptation sometimes. But does it ever work? When we take control of our little corner of the world instead of trusting our corner to God, it never works out. And it never works out for us for a very simple reason. Unlike God, we can't see the whole picture and we aren't perfect, so it's always better to trust things to God. When Jesus was offered this particular temptation, he answered the devil by quoting Deuteronomy again. This time it's chapter 6, verse 13. "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." It's a matter of trust, isn't it? Even for Jesus, of trusting God with our little corner of the world, worshipping God, serving God, remembering that God is in control, not us. We can talk to God about it, and we should. We can join God in improving our corner of the world, and we should. But it really is God's world, even our corner of it. And our task is to worship, serve, trust, and love, and leave the rest to God. How about the third temptation? The devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple. And this time the devil tried using scripture on Jesus. The devil knows his Bible. So he quoted Psalm 91 to Jesus. "Throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Why would this be tempting for Jesus? Why would it be tempting for him to throw himself down from the temple and trust God's angels to protect him from getting hurt? Well, imagine how much easier it would have been for Jesus to teach and preach, to gather disciples and to build the church, to do everything that Jesus was doing in his years of public ministry, if he started with a showy miracle like this one. Everyone would have believed in him right away. The Pharisees, scribes, tax collectors, fishermen, everyone would have known right away that this man truly is the Son of God. And Jesus could have done a lot of good if everyone believed that right away. In fact, wouldn't it be great if Jesus did that today? Did something so amazing in our world that everyone alive believed in him? I think it's pretty easy to see why this would be tempting. But again, we don't have this temptation in our life, do we? Not literally, of course. But aren't there times when we're tempted to let the ends justify the means? Aren't there times when we can see a shortcut to accomplishing something good, and it seems like it might be worth it in the end, even if it's not the best way to accomplish it? But what Jesus is reminding us of today is that sometimes it's better to do something in the right way and fail than to do something in the wrong way and succeed. Success isn't everything. Or as Mother Teresa famously put it, God has not called me to be successful, but to be faithful. We're called to be faithful and to trust the results to God. Jesus didn't start his ministry with a showy miracle because he knew that it was not God's will. It would have been a shortcut, and it would have worked, and he would have been successful, but he chose being faithful over being successful, and he invites us to do the same. Satan tempts us to take the easy option. He wants to succeed with us. He constantly fights against God and those who follow and obey God. He presents sin in the best possible manner. He makes it look as attractive as possible, and does so by always showing sin as something that's fun and profitable. Satan never, ever reveals the devastation that follows sin. Like a clever salesman, Satan sets out his wares without mentioning the price tag. He always shows the pleasures of sin, but he doesn't mention the stiff consequences that inevitably follow. Hardship, pain, sorrow, and death follow sin, as sure as night follows day. But the devil doesn't want you to see the results that will come in your life if you give in to temptation. When advertisers show beer commercials, for example, they always show attractive, happy, smiling faces in the bar. They never show you the drunk driver that kills a family on the way home after they leave the bar. They don't reveal the broken homes and empty bank accounts caused by alcoholism. That's the way Satan always presents sin. Temptation lies to you. Temptation deceives you. Only God tells you the truth about sin. We have God's truth on sin. We have Satan's lies regarding sin. And we're the ones who must ultimately decide whether we believe God or believe Satan. Temptation seeks to make us believe that Satan is telling the truth and that God is lying. God doesn't tempt us. God may try us, but he never tempts a believer to sin. Trials come from God in order to make us stronger in our faith, but temptations come from the evil one and are designed to make us fail the Lord. It is never God's desire to lead you in temptation. You might say, well, if God didn't want me to do these things, why do I enjoy them so much? God created life for enjoyment, but he put boundaries around human pleasures. Think of driving a car. You can enjoy driving a car, but if you drive your car into the oncoming lane of traffic, you will likely be injured or killed. Just because you enjoy driving it doesn't mean you can drive wherever or however you like. Satan wants you to believe that you can live your life any way you wish, and by doing so, he leads you towards destructive habits. Habits that are destructive to you and those around you. Temptation is part of a war, a spiritual war. We're told by Paul in his letter to the Ephesians to put on the whole armour of God so we can stand against the devil and his wiles, tricks and schemes. Be on your guard. separate yourselves from temptation as much as possible. We're to separate ourselves from the places, people and activities that make it easier for us to be tempted. We don't do this because we're better than others. On the contrary, we do this because we're capable of any sin that mankind can commit. We don't avoid the world because we're better than the world, but because we desire to serve better the God who made the world and sent his Son into it to save us from our sins. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18 states, "Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Jesus faced three very real temptations before he began his public ministry. The devil knew what he was doing, and the same is the case with us. We will always be tempted to live for ourselves, to take control of our corner of the world, and to focus on success rather than faithfulness. But Jesus teaches us that through prayer and scripture, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can live for others. We can trust God with our corner of the world, and we can be faithful. Jesus overcame the devil. He won the battle for us and for our world. In the wilderness and on the cross and everywhere in between, Jesus resisted the devil's temptations. He didn't listen to Peter, who tried to convince him to stay away from Jerusalem and certain death. He didn't call on the army of angels who were eager to fight for him, even when he was arrested. And even as he was dying on the cross, Jesus refused to save himself. It would have been as simple as turning stone into bread, but he chose to die instead, to do his Father's will. Jesus didn't turn the stone into bread, and he didn't come down from the cross. And because he didn't, he defeated the devil once and for all. We don't have to fear the devil anymore, because Jesus has defeated him for us. Which means that no matter what is happening in our lives, no matter the temptations and trials and tests we might be going through, we can turn to Jesus and he will be there for us, to lead us and guide us all along the way. Thanks be to God. Amen.